And I've entitled the message, Don't Be. Even as Christians, we can be willingly ignorant. And how can we do that? Well, we'll share that in just a moment. If you found 2 Peter chapter 3, go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word of God one more time this morning and stretch your legs for the long message that I have. I'll try to go as quick as I can. 2 Peter chapter 3, you follow along and I'll read the passage. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away and shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again as we come to you this morning. We thank you for using Peter, one of your apostles, a man of God, called Cephas and Simon, to share these words that we may have them today. These words that were written so long ago that are still valid for us right now. Father, help us to take heed as Peter's writing to the beloved. He's writing to Christians, those who are born again and love God. He's warning them that they too should not become ignorant of the things that are going to take place in the future, but be mindful of those things, because we're looking for the coming of the Lord any day now. Father, help us to understand that and make that real in our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So first, he's talking about remembrance. So lest we forget. You know, that's why it's so important. And I stress this all the time. And I'm praying, and I know this is true, that you're in the Word of God, if not daily, at least often. I hope you are daily, but at least often. Why? Because that's how you remember things. That's how you go back and see what the Scriptures say. That's how you get refreshed and reminded. Because there are false teachers out there. And that's what Peter's warning about in the previous chapter. He's talking about those false teachers. And there are a lot of people that will teach you false doctrine. And if you don't know the doctrine, how easy is it to get confused? It's happened in this church that there's been somebody who's passed out maybe some false doctrine. I need to dig into it a little bit more. But we need to be careful that we don't get confused. And I'm thankful that the person who brought this to me realized that and shared it with me. I hope everybody would be able to know that as well. That's why we study the Word of God. So we know when we see it, this is not right. And call it out. Bring it to my attention as well. And that's what Peter is saying right here, because it's so easy. There's so many things out there. And if you're not studied in the Bible and you're not learning the Word of God, you might be in that condition of being willingly ignorant. Why do you say willingly? Because if we're not studying, that's the choice we make, is to be willingly ignorant. I hope that makes sense. Because that's what we do. And so he's writing to those people. Now, he's not talking necessarily to Christians about being willingly ignorant. He's talking about those that are. He calls them scoffers. Okay? A scoffer is a false teacher. That's what that word means. But here he's telling us, lest we forget. He says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds. That word stir up means to awake fully, to arouse. In other words, you're in the Word of God, your senses, your mind, your spirit is all working to help you to understand. You're aroused to the things of God. You're looking to the things of God. You're seeing it, how alive it is and how real it is and how it can speak to you. He says to stir up or awake fully your pure minds. Again, he's talking to Christians here. That word pure is to judge by sunlight. Test it as genuine is what it means. What's the sunlight he's talking about? It's right here. It's the Word of God. This is where the light is. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so I'm looking into it to find out, what should I be doing? Where am I at? And what is my next step? That's what that is. So he's trying to stir up those that are Christians, and he's saying, watch out. And he shared that in chapter 2. In John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In 2 Timothy 2, 25 and 26, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We need the knowledge of the truth. It's the truth that makes us free. It's the truth that changes our lives when we accept it and apply it in our lives. There is so much falsehood out there today. I tell you, I don't know who's telling the truth anymore. If you turn your tube on, I don't know that you can find the truth. I don't know that you can filter the truth out unless you're looking through the Word of God and filtering it through the Word of God. Because I don't care what you watch, they're all lying one way or the other. They're one extreme to the other extreme. But there's a little bit of truth in there. That's the way the devil works, isn't it? When he was talking to Eve in the garden, he was subtle. He gave her a little bit of the truth, and he wrapped it up in a nice lie. He deceived her. Of course, Adam, he disobeyed God. So Peter is writing this letter to stir up their pure minds. And it's by way of remembrance, he says. So this is something they've been taught already. Okay? This is something they heard already. That's why we come to church, is to hear the Word of God over and over and over again and find out what God is trying to lead us to do. I don't know about you, but I'm a stubborn person. I could sit in a pew for years, and I have, and didn't move on what the truth was being taught. And then one day it clicked. One day I understood it. It's amazing to me, as I am studying the Bible, that whatever's preached from the pulpit is not necessarily what everybody hears. That's amazing to me. And you know why that is? Because everybody might not need to hear that same message, because there's something in their life that they're stumbling about, and God is revealing that to them. That's amazing to me. That's so amazing. And He does that. Because almost anywhere you go in the Bible, the Spirit of God will work through that, the Word of God, and it will pinpoint what you need if you're listening to Him. You may be doing what the message is focused on. In other words, you're not willingly ignorant. But there's something else He's trying to reveal to you. And through this message, He will do something in your life if you will let Him. That's the way it works. As I study the Word of God, God gives me a message, and I try to make sure it's not my message, but it's His message. And I can tell you the excitement I get when that happens. I'm going, Lord, I'm sitting in the office going, Lord, what am I going to tell these people tomorrow or the next day? Or I try to be a couple days, at least 3 or 4 days ahead on my Sunday messages. The other ones are usually way ahead. But I'm sitting there, Lord, what do they need? What's right? And then I'm sitting there reading through the Bible, and all of a sudden, it may be just a word. It may be just a phrase. It may be a whole chapter. And the Lord says, that's the one I want you to share. And so I know in my heart of hearts, if I'm supposed to share that, then He wants you to hear it. I believe that. So He says here that He wants them to have their pure minds stirred up by way of remembrance. So He's going to share something that's already taken place a long time ago. And all of us would look at this, we'd read through it, and we'd know exactly what He's saying. But maybe there's some underlying things He wants to teach us and to show us. He says in verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, Peter was one, of the Lord and Savior. So He wants them to be reminded of the apostles and also the prophets, the Old Testament. In 2 Peter, go ahead and turn over there, since you're right there anyway, chapter 1. Look at verse 15 for a second. I'm going to read several verses here. And this is really the whole scope of this letter, is talking about the false doctrine and watching out for that. He says in verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Again, he's saying, there's going to come a time when I'm not going to be here anymore, and I hope you have these in remembrance. I hope you apply these in your life. And you know, I learned this a long time ago. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and we were talking about, says he's learning some stuff, new things that for him. I said, the way that you know that you have it is that you're able to teach it. That's how you know you got it, is when you can regurgitate it and share it with somebody else. I don't know how many things that I supposedly learned in school, grammar school, high school, and all those places that I didn't really learn. I got a grade for, but I could not regurgitate it because I didn't really learn it. There's a difference. We can all come with our brains numbed and listen and not get anything out of it. But what we want to do is we want to hear it, apply it, and teach it. That's why we come to church, is to learn to apply it and teach it to somebody else. So he says in verse 16, "For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." So Peter's talking about his experience. He saw Jesus. He walked with Jesus. What an awesome thing if we could do that today the way Peter did. I believe it would affect us maybe a little different today if we actually were with him, even though the Spirit is indwelling us. Verse 17 says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" He heard that voice. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration with John and James. He heard that powerful voice from God. Verse 18 says, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the Holy Mount." Boy, that's amazing. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." In other words, not just one person can understand this. I believe every born-again Christian has a spirit can understand this. Verse 21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So he's talking about this message is moved, talking about the prophets here, that these men of God, were moved by the Holy Spirit to pen the words that we have and we hold in our hand this morning. And more specifically, he's talking about the Old Testament, because that's the book they had. He's writing this letter now. Not now, but when he wrote it, it was now. So that's what he's saying. And so in chapter 3, he's talking about the holy prophets. He said that they're to remember the commandments of us, the apostles. Of course, there's a lot of commandments given. There's the Ten Commandments, which are important. Jesus expounded on those, and he went to a greater length than just the Ten Commandments. He went and he described those commandments to help us to understand, especially with the new covenant, that it's all about the heart. It's not the letter of the law. It's the spirit and your heart. That's why he could say, if a man looketh on a woman to lust after her, he committeth adultery already in his heart. That's not what the Old Testament says. The Old Testament is talking about a physical act. So you see, Jesus moved it a step farther. He said, if you think it in your heart, you've done it. Now, there are different consequences for that, folks. I hope you understand that. Either one of them sin, but one has a greater consequence than the other. Okay? If you think something in your heart, you can go to God that quick and say, please forgive me, for I have sinned. But if you commit the act, now you got a mess to deal with. Everybody understand that? Somebody once told me, he says, well, they're the same thing. They're not the same thing. They're both sin, but one's a little bit easier to deal with than the other. And there are greater consequences for greater sins. We know that. That's important to remember. But the purpose of all these commandments that they're giving to us are to bring us to Christ. Galatians 3:24, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." And the purpose of that was to help us to lead this life that we are called to lead when we put our faith and trust in Christ. I don't know how many Christians miss this whole mark. I think the reason they miss this is because it's not taught that much anymore. We don't teach in a lot of mainstream churches godliness and separation or any of that stuff. Why? Because, well, people won't come to my church. They want to hear the band, and they want to hear the worship, and they want to hear a message that's going to make them feel good. I want to hear that too. But you know what? I'm learning and have learned. This is a message that I feel good about. Why? Because I'm trying to live this way. And I should feel good about that. as a Christian, because I want to live and love my Lord with all my heart and with all my mind, with all my soul. It ought to feel good. When it doesn't, we need to question that and say, why doesn't it feel good? Titus wrote this in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, 12. He says, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then he says, it teaches us, or teaching us, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And Paul said, that's the battle, the flesh and the spirit. Romans chapter 7. So he's writing to stir up or awake their pure minds, that which the sunlight has shined on, by way of remembrance. So what is he going to bring us to the remember? And verse 3 says, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Scoffers walking after their own lust. That word scoffer I mentioned means mocker or false teacher. And what they're going to do is they're going to walk and live after their own desires. What do I want? What are my priorities? What's first in my life? And he's talking about those that really are in the world, the lost people, but there's implication and there's purpose for each one of us. Because we don't want to get wrapped up in those things either. We don't want to become like a scoffer. We don't want to have our hearts pulled away from the things of God and follow the God of this world. Walking in our own lust and desires. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I don't know how many times I've heard people say this, and I know their intentions are good, but it's a lie. Let your heart lead you. Follow your heart. Well, if your heart is set on God, do it. Follow God. But if it's not, and your heart's desperately wicked, refuse that and follow God. My emotions, my feelings, sometimes they are powerful and they lead me to think a certain way and do a certain thing and act a certain way. Watch out! Because if they're contrary to the Word of God, reject it. Don't go there. Because God's not going to lead you that way. God never, never, let me add three more there, never, 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 lead you contrary to the Word of God. Can I hear an amen? A little stronger there, folks. Amen. Thank you. That's right. He won't do that. Never will he do that. So these scoffers are coming and walking after their own lusts, and this is their message. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In verse 5 it says, for this they are willingly... they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What he's talking about here is they have forgotten that God judged this world a long time ago. In fact, the words in Genesis says, it repented God that he made man. It's not that he changed his mind, it's that man did not follow him and walk contrary to him. But Noah found grace in the sight of God. Amen. That's why I'm here today. Is because Noah believed God and followed God. He found grace. So these folks have forgotten all that stuff. They're kind of in the situation that's different. Turn over, if you would. Take your marker, hold here, and turn back to 2 Timothy. And Paul writes to Timothy about this. And again, we see Peter makes mention of Paul writing these things, so it's good to go back and see what he has written. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to look at verse 1. We're just going to read 5 verses here, and then we're going to jump over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This all goes together. And I want you to think about these things. As we're reading the Scripture, Paul is writing here, Peter was writing the other. Do you see the importance of the warnings? Do you see this as a wake-up call as we look to the Word of God, and God is trying to remind us through Peter, through Paul, and others that these things are taking place and we're not to get caught up in them? And how easy it is to get caught up in them. I was not raised in a Christian home. I think sometimes people who are raised in a Christian home are lulled into this sense of security and end up following the world. My life changed. I know what the world is because I live the world. And I know the difference. And we got to teach our children that. We got to be honest with them and let them know that there is something powerful out there. The God of this world. So Paul is writing to Timothy, says, chapter 3, verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." We see it all the time today. LGBTQ is what it's saying. Didn't write it there like that, but that's what it's saying. Unnatural affections. "Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God." And then look at verse 5. It says, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Form of godliness. Maybe they're regular church attenders. Maybe they give tithes. Maybe they profess salvation. They look like they're godly people on the outside. But deep in the recesses of their heart, maybe they've never been born again. I'm not the judge. Can anybody say amen? God is. And that's who we're going to stand before. Look at chapter 4. It says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul has given a charge to Timothy. This is a charge to me. It's a charge to you. "Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Look at verse 5. "But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions." Now we're talking about suffering for Christ again. "Do the work of an evangelist." Get the word out. Tell people about Jesus Christ. "Make full proof of thy ministry." We all have a ministry. And the priority is, number one, it's God. So Peter's writing, he's saying to these Christians here, he's saying, watch out, because they're going to come, and they're subtle. You think that if Eve who and Adam, who were in the garden and walked in the cool of the day of God, were able to be misled, do you think we are? Boy, I know I am. I've heard someone say, "I trust so-and-so explicit," or "I trust my child." I don't trust any of my children. You know why? I don't trust myself. I'm going to stumble and fall. I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to tell you something. And you know, one day I'll say, "I'll do this," and I won't do it. What did I just do? I got a lot of excuses because of it. But what did I do? I kind of lied. Now, there are excuses for it. And I'm not trying to say anything. I'm just saying that's who I am. I am a sinner saved by grace. I'm not going to do the things I say I'm going to do all the time. And so, you should never trust me completely. If you see me straying from the things of the Bible, you should say, "That ain't right, Pastor." Now, I'd rather you not do it in the congregation. Just come see me in the office. But if you do, we might have a fight. Matt, get him. I'm not going to fight. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, let's go on. So he's trying to warn because these people have forgotten what's going to take place. They are duped by Satan. First Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." We need to be careful that we aren't following this world, the lifestyle of this world. We're to love not the world. I tell you, it's easy to get transformed to that thinking that this is what everybody's doing, so I'm, you know, that's not true. That's not true. The philosophy of the world. People want us to change. They want America to change. They want the world to change. They are looking to transform this nation completely. And it is going to be so subtle. It already has been. I was appalled when I got saved looking at the soap operas. I don't know if any of you watched those. I did religiously when I was in a body cast when I was 15 years old. I had my crutch and I had my TV in a bed in the living room. So we didn't have electronic stuff back then. It's just take the crutch and you turn the crank around and get to the station you wanted to. And if the antenna was a problem, well, you're just out of luck because you ain't getting out of bed, right? So, but anyway, yeah, I watched a lot of those. Those were nasty then. I remember when Amanda and Matthew were staying with my grandmother. She loved those. She's a Christian. She loved those. And I remember coming into her house and I'm thinking, what are the kids watching here? I mean, this is crazy, Grandma. But it was subtle. She grew up with it. She couldn't see it. I had already kicked my TV out of the house, not literally, unplugged it. And so we weren't seeing that stuff anymore. So to me, it was fresh. And if you go away from something from a time, you'll see how wicked it is. And you'll say, man, people jumping in these situations, it's crazy. TV is 100 times worse now than it was then. 100 times and more. But how easy is it to be duped by that and think it's okay? How often do we search for something that we can watch on that tube that we find out, hey, this is good. It was made in 1950. But if you really filtered it through the Word of God, I'm trying to convict my, I don't have to, I'm convicted now. You filter through the Word of God, you'll see how wicked it is. Because there's always insinuations. They may not say it, but there's the insinuations. Is that holiness? I'm duped. I've been misled. Why? Because I allowed myself. I am willingly ignorant. And that's what Peter's trying to say. Don't be ignorant. Now he's talking about these, again, that are scoffers. They are willingly ignorant. But let's go on and see what he has to say. So he's saying, don't forget, there is a judgment. These folks have already forgot that took place. And there's going to be another judgment. And we're all going to stand before that judgment. Actually, there's going to be two. Christians are going to be judged at the beam seat of Christ. Amen? The rapture. But those that are lost are going to be at the great white throne. And he's talking about that right now. You know, global warming, we're all afraid of this. Me and Greg were talking about the humidity. I said, yep, that's that global warming. Probably wasn't like that 20 years ago, was it, brother? I don't know. But it's humid up here. And so we're talking about that. And so global warming. But my Bible tells me what's going to happen. Now, it may get a little hot for a while, folks. Hell hath enlarged herself. Why? Because people have rejected Christ and it's growing and getting bigger and bigger all the time. But here he says, beloved, he's talking to Christians. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. What is he saying here? He's not making the comment that today is like 1,000 days to the Lord. He's saying, the Lord has no time. There is no time in heaven. Time was made for us to govern our lives. He's the one who made night and day. He's the one who made the seasons. All of that he did for us. It's not going to be that way in heaven. There's always going to be light. Now maybe we need to talk to Paul Hitz a little bit about that and understand what that's like. Because he goes 24 hours a day with light sometimes. But that's what it's going to be like in heaven all the time. Time is made for us. And that's what he's saying here. That's what Peter's trying to relay to these folks. He says, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Then look how he moves to the next thing. Look how he moves to the next topic. I just skipped about 3 pages of notes. Let's go on. In verse 9 he said, the Lord is not slack, as some men count slackness toward usward. He says, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He kind of switched it up here. He's saying, look at these scoffers. They're willingly ignorant of the things of God. They can't even remember what God did way back in the flood, and Noah's time. They've forgotten all those things. But you, brothers and sisters in Christ, you know the day of the Lord's coming. You know it's going to happen. And I also want you to know that the Lord is not slack. In other words, it is a serious thing that the Lord wants people to repent of their sins. He wants that. He desires that. And I look at this from my eyes that this is another call. See, we don't have to worry about the polar ice cap melting right now. Do you know, based on science fiction, that you got 9 more years on this earth? Have you heard that latest statistic? It used to be 12. That was about a month ago. But we've gained or lost 3 years in a month or so. Now it's 9 years. I think that's AOC's prediction. I don't think I believe it. Because I know the Lord knows when the time is. It could be 9. I don't know. But I don't believe she's got it right. Because no man knoweth. And that's what he's going to tell us right here. In verse 10 he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This earth is going to be gone. And it's God who's going to do it. It's in His control. And He tells us in the next verse there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Or maybe the next 2 verses. So again, he's giving us an indication of what's going to take place. And he's talking to those that are beloved, not those that are willingly ignorant, those scoffers. He's talking to you and me today saying, hey, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. This plan was established before the foundation of the world. I'm not going to take time to go there, but 1 Peter chapter 1. Mark it down, go look it up. Verses 18 to 20. But I want you to know today that the devil wants to distract us. The devil wants us to be willingly ignorant. I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm too tired to read my Bible. I'm too tired to pray. I'm too tired to get serious about the things. I'm just tired. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're tired, because I guarantee you at least half the congregation will raise their hand right now. And I'd be, both of mine, I'd join you. We are tired. But we're not to give up. We're not to quit. We're to put the priorities in the right place and make time for those. Because the mission is still here. Yes, I'm tired. But God knows I'm tired. And you know what? He will give me the strength to accomplish His will. He promises that. His will, not mine, but His will. And so maybe I have to readjust my priorities in life and put His will first, or knowing the things He wants me to do first, and then the extra time, maybe the leisure. Jesus went to the mountain and rested. He went apart and prayed. We need rest too, do we not? I don't know about you, but most people, especially with children, it's 24/7. Well, it's probably more than that. I don't know how you do it. It's probably 24/8. I don't know how you squeeze it all together. You got two parents, 24/14. I don't know. It's hard. I know that. But see, you have to make sure your children are coming along with you. They need to see it. They need to experience it, because Christianity is a real thing. And so he tells us here in verse 11, seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What he's saying, you see how this is going to happen. You know this is going to happen. I'm already telling you this is going to happen. Excuse me, I'm tying my shoe. Sorry. I saw it dangling down there. I thought, well, I'll kill myself. These things are going to happen, right? So now he's telling us we need to apply the Word of God in our lives, and we need to have our conversation. I'm not talking about the things we say. I'm talking about the way we live. To be holy. Why? Because God is holy. Peter tells us we're to be holy also. Because it does make a difference. If you are presented as a Christian and you are striving to live the Christian life, I promise that people will see a difference. Your mannerism, the way you act, the way you look at things, the way you talk. Those all should be different. Why? Because you're holy. You're already holy. Now we just have to learn how to practice holiness. Because when you put your faith and trust in Christ, you were made a saint. That very instant. And now we're coming to church to learn what it is to be holy and how to practice that, because we have a short time. My life might last, of course, I'm older than some of you folks. You know, Jeff is the oldest one here today. Sorry, Jeff. And then Jim, and or Mike and Jim, somewhere in there, I get to be the fourth. But I'm close to all of them. So, and then we got the next group from that. But so, do I? I'm sorry. Oh, I apologize. See, you can't believe everything I say. I'm just telling you. Sorry, Mike. I know you want to hang at 30, but it's not working too good, is it? But anyway, I mean, I'm just saying, the time is short. Now, some of you look and say, I've got all my life. Well, Peter's saying you might not have as much time as you think you have to be about the Lord's business. Verse 12 says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You can go back to the book of Revelation, and I believe it's chapter 20. He tells us about this new heaven, new earth. And verse 14 says, wherefore, beloved, he's talking to us again. Seeing that ye look for such things, seeing that you know the judgment's coming, seeing that you know what's going to happen, you've already seen the end, you've already got the knowledge, you've already read the last chapter of the book. You know what's going to happen. Beloved, you know what's going to happen. Be diligent. Be diligent. The word diligent means speed. With speed. That ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and without blame, and blameless. I don't want any man's blood on my hands, Paul said. That's what he said. And what he meant by that is, buddy, I have not, I can't remember his exact words, but he preached the gospel to everybody he could, because he didn't want to be held accountable for those folks. That's what this blameless is talking about. Part of that is. And verse 15 says, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So now he's referencing Paul, another apostle. And we read some of Paul's writings this morning. And verse 16 says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned. Now this is willingly ignorant. This is what he's talking about. If you go back and think about it, those scoffers are willingly ignorant. He told us not to be ignorant, but to be willingly ignorant is to be unlearned. You see what he's saying? Don't be unlearned. An unstable rest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. He's saying, don't be like them. I want you to know what the Word of God says. So when you are presented with something that is a false doctrine, then like this person who shared something with me, you will know it. If you don't, come to me and let me help you. There's so many things out there that are different and new today that sound good, but are not. And so he said, be careful. Don't be willingly ignorant. Verse 17 says, ye therefore, beloved Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Again, don't be willingly ignorant. That's what Peter's saying. Don't be. Don't find yourself in that place. Verse 18 says, but grow in grace. And then what's he say after that? In the knowledge of the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is where you're going to find that knowledge. Whoop. It's getting bad, isn't it? This is the knowledge right here. And if you don't read this, you're going to end up being willingly ignorant. I would hate to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I didn't know that. He said, I called you to be a preacher. I called you to study the Word of God. Of course, all Christians are to study to show themselves approved, right? I called you to do this, and you don't know that? You didn't know the importance of that? You didn't understand that my desire was to see all men saved and that you ought to be doing that and you ought to try to live the Christian life because that's part of salvation? It's not just the words I say, but it's the actions. It's how I live and who I am. You didn't know you were supposed to be different from the world? You didn't know that you were supposed to chase all the world's dreams and get everything you can and can all you get? You didn't know that? Oh, you are willingly ignorant. Saved by the skin of your teeth, if you're born again, but willingly ignorant of what the will of the Lord is. Peter's writing to us. He's writing to me. He's saying, Bruce, pay attention. I got something for you. This is going to help you. It's going to grow you. Yes, there's going to be some suffering. I've already told you that. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you didn't quite understand that because some guy told you how wonderful it's going to be and you're going to have a life of roses and all this other junk and everything's going to be wonderful. They didn't tell you the truth, Bruce. Because when you put your faith and trust in me, yes, you're sealed into the day of redemption. Yes, there will be a time with you spend eternity with me and it will be a wonderful place. But I'm leaving you down here because I've got a job for you to do. And it requires suffering. It requires suffering for Christ's sake. And why am I not suffering? Maybe because I'm really not doing what this says. Telling people about Jesus. Unashamedly of the gospel of Christ. Going up to people and say, hey, can I share three thoughts with you? Or can I tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ? Or can I, whatever, about God's doing in my life? You know, sometimes we as Christians, we don't even talk about our testimonies. I shared this with a person not too long ago, is that, you know what, we have young people in this church. If we're not willing to talk about what God's doing in our life, if He is doing anything in our life, how will they ever know? What do they think? Say, hey, anybody got a testimony? Shh. If I was a little child, I'd think, man, there's nobody in this church that has a testimony of what God's doing in their life. And when I get a little older, I might think, hey, God's not real. Never heard one or two testimonies. I don't hear them. People aren't, you know. I'm just saying, is it real? Is He alive? Is your spirit quickened? Are you being led? Are you ready and knowing what the end's going to be like? Because we've got the picture. What if I knew I was going to die today? What would I do? Would I keep doing the same thing I'm doing? I should if I'm led by the Spirit. But if I'm not, I better do something quick. Just listen to Peter. And just practice what you know to do. I love the Lord. And I'm so glad He's letting me preach. But He beats me up so often. Because I get this very message before you get it. Why am I passionate about it? Because I'm the guy who needs it. Let's just do what God tells us to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for the Word of God this morning. I thank You for how You reveal to us in the passages through the Scripture. Again, it's all about Jesus. Every bit of this book is about Jesus. And if that's true, then the mission that Jesus came to do is what this book's about as well. And these letters that are written to these churches many times are because these people are struggling with their salvation and their walk with God. And it's hard to be a testimony for Christ when you don't even know how to live your life for Christ. And so He gives us that information so we can, as You are transforming us through the Spirit of God, that we can walk accordingly, and we got a message. The message is not just the words I say, but it's the life I live. And Father, help each one of us. Help me to be what You've called me to be. And I know this is a lifelong endeavor, but we ought to be taking steps, because the Word of God is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. And that's called moving toward Christ, because the steps of a good man, the Bible says, are ordered by the Lord. Help us to take those steps and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.